So, Carl, I sent you the thing about the Obama Springsteen podcast, and I thought, oh, it's probably the most dreadful pod. It's just probably boring, too boring to even be interesting.
Yes, and I pulled some clips from it because there are some parts that are notably boring.
Notably boring.
Well, and I immediately wondered, what kind of chemistry would Obama and the boss have? Do they run in same circles that aren't political?
Well, they pretend to be really good friends. And I know that the boss has played like the inauguration in 2009. Oh, yeah. And, you know, they've done some things to cross promote over the years, for lack of a better term. But I will play a clip for you here. Track number 12 that I brought. This is Barack being Barack. This is what he's the best at. He's telling an anecdote. It's self-deprecating. There's no way it's real. It's all made up horseshit. But basically, he's explaining why him and the boss are good buddies.
And the other part of it was Michelle and Patty hit it off.
Yeah.
And Michelle was very pleased in the insights you had about your failings as a man.
Oh, yeah.
And after we would leave a dinner or party or conversation, she'd say, you see how Bruce understands his shortcomings and has come to terms with them?
Sorry,
in a way
that
you have not. You should spend more time with Bruce because he's put in the work.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together. Just a big old fucking suck.
Doesn't that sound like Michelle Obama to say, he's done the work?
You know what?
You have to do the work to be my husband.
It sounded to me like when he's like, Michelle said I can't run unless I stop smoking. I feel like she really wears the pants in that relationship.
Fuck yeah, she
does. And I have been doing the work.
I'm trying to think of something she's ever said where I went, man, I really like her. So I can't really place it.
She wants you to eat healthy.
I think it's all bullshit. Barack's got the leader of the free world card. I think he's winning every argument at home.
Yeah, he should at least. Nice reminder who he is.
Well, isn't that wonderful? I'm so happy for Michelle. And
so another thing that I caught here that I wanted to point out is there's a lot of blowing smoke up each other's ass. Like at one point, Barack's going, you know, the thing about your music, Bruce, that really touches me. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he grew up listening to the boss.
No way. Yeah, but, in Kenya.
Right. So then Barack's talking about one of the speeches that he gave. He's saying it's his best speech that he ever gave.
And I agree.
Bruce is acting like he knows all about it. It's track 16.
And it may be the speech I gave on the 50th anniversary of March across the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Yeah.
That's starting in Selma.
That's a great speech.
You don't know. Okay, what is it, Bruce? Wouldn't you love if President Obama...
A follow-up question would just be like, what was your favorite part of the speech? Wouldn't that be amazing?
And then the boss would just go, the end.
The first paragraph was great.
What a bunch of bull.
Good God.
And why are they talking about each other to each other? Right?
Oh, it's gnar. They're like pseudo-interviewing each other, but it's all about race. Both episodes 1 and 2 of this show are nothing about race relations in America. Finally.
That's great because nobody ever talks about race.
That's the problem.
It never comes up.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
It's crazy.
It's pretty, yeah.
Let me just play a couple more clips from this show.
Okay.
Because I want to point out how boring it is and how bad both the boss and Obama are at podcasting specifically. Now, granted, this show is being blasted out to everybody. I've gotten multiple emails about it. You got to check out.
It's called
Renegades, Born in the USA. Hmm. Everyone's telling you got to check it out. So let's see what this amazing podcast that's only on Spotify. This is track 13, and Barack talks so slowly. Now, Brandon, you're going to want to hit a bunch of drops, but it might spoil some of the fun of the dead air on this one.
Great. Okay, here we go.
And the first time I met John, he came to speak at Harvard, where I was going to law school. And after he spoke, I came up to him and I said to him, you are one of my heroes. You helped me find my sense of who I at least wanted to be.
Wait, was he making that up as he went along?
Sounds
sound like it.
Slow down.
Jesus.
Is he talking about John Lewis? I'm just guessing. It's probably
I'm not sure what's worse, to be listening to the podcast or to be in the room.
Yeah. Well, not to be outdone, the boss is even worse at talking. Track 14.
It's part of our tragicness.
What's that?
That continues, obviously, to this day, you know.
Sounds drunk.
And I don't think it's ever been more.
Do it again.
We're still in the cut.
More essential.
Or only halfway, Drew.
A subject as it is at this very moment.
What do you got, Bruce?
Bruce? Is he still talking?
I think. Why is it so hard to talk about, Ray?
Fucking slow!
Damn. Hey, Bruce isn't easy.
Wow.
That beginning, the...
that was weird.
It's part of our...
It freaked me out.
Is he okay? I'm worried about the boss.
How many takes did he take at that Jeep commercial? I'm imagining like Michael Jordan's trying to do the Nike or the Gatorade thing.
Jeep.
Wow.
Gatorade. Is it in you?
Sheesh.
Wow. And then you have one more from them? Is that worth playing?
I do.
It's a quick one.
I do it. And this one, I just want to call bullshit on because Barack Obama is talking about growing up and how sports is what united him to people because he was an outcast. But then when he started playing basketball, he got together with the other outcasts. He even says, he's like, and they were just like you, Bruce, just outcasts, just like you. Like, they're just relating on so many levels.
I realized that my best friends in high school, who are to this day some of my best friends.
Bullshit!
I thought he was an outcast.
Do you think Barack Obama's still hanging out with his high school friends?
I don't think so.
Believe that?
No, he's hanging out with Bruce.
Right.
Bruce is his new friend. He left all those people back in the day. I don't want to call you. Can go to the bus.
Oh, my God.
What a disaster.
What? The podcast will be number one in the world. It will. It'll be number one in the world.
Well, so
I want to listen to it.
With all that Megan and Harry stuff about Spotify, you know, that little piece they did.
Oh,
clip,
Jesus Christ.
John Spotify still livid that they haven't put on another episode. They attributed their gain in the fourth quarter to Harry and Megan, who only put out one episode, and Michelle Obama. So if I was Michelle Obama, I'd be a little pissed because if they're really gaining that many from those two new signings, it's 99% Michelle Obama for whatever reason.
So you're telling me that one episode really pumped up their profits? Really?
I think it's all about Michelle Obama, and it's their way to kind of push Meghan forward because apparently it's all of America's job to elevate Meghan Markle.
What's wrong with it? What is wrong with us? Why are we kissing their asses? Honestly,
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I'm really flummoxed by it. I think people think she's a royal, and the people like
just because she sat on that abnormally pink wiener.
Well, that was pretty big.
It's a good move. I agree, but she was flunking out of Hollywood. She's a 37-year-old nothing in Hollywood.
Okay, give her this much credit, Drew. Look at the other girls he's dated. I mean, they are all pretty hot.
Yeah,
she is the one that won. So.
Oh, she was in Suits.
So therefore she gets a deal with Spotify and Netflix.
Oh, God. I know. $100 million they've made, approximately. Maybe
Shut
more.
Up, Meg.
All right. So the main podcast, is it Hey Babe? Is that the one you were most fired up for?
Sal and Chris present Hey Babe. This is a top 50 podcast, according to Apple Podcasts, all categories combined.
Wow.
I saw that.
And overall, is it any good?
Let me read the description for you guys. Hey Babe is a podcast where comedians Chris DiStefano and Sal Vulcano share stories and have fun. Let your hair down and come hang out with the babes.
Wait, what does that mean?
I'm confused.
So Sal Vulcano is from the Impractical Jokers show.
Yeah, which is not funny.
It's totally off my radar. I don't know who this is for. It's either young children or housewives. I don't know anything about it.
I have a friend who... swear to God, one day I was just watching Impractical Jokers. It's hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, I know somebody who likes that show.
I know that's a real bummer. I mean, information like that is stuff I wish I wouldn't find out from people.
I just went, oh yeah, I know that show. This is the nicest thing I could say.
That show is vaulting this podcast like that?
I guess. Drew, did you listen to some of this?
Yes, I did. I was like, this can't be a top 50 show. I want to resign.
It's another one of these shows where these two comedians get together, they've prepped nothing, and they're just going to shoot the shit for an hour. It reminds me a lot of that Two Bears, One Cave with Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, yes, because they're making inane conversation, and then the producers, whoever's hanging out with them, is just laughing their asses off in the background. Like, everything they're saying is hilarious.
And you can hear them watching the clock, too, to get the commercials in.
Because they
get the downloads, so they get the national buys, and so they just got to, it's just basically filling space for a few commercials for a few more bucks.
It's insulting.
But Carl, the part that bothers me the most is there's no prep whatsoever. It's like, these two guys, they don't need to prep. They're so funny. And they're not. No, they're just not right, that funny.
Let's get into it. And this is where I think maybe the show is for young girls or something, but let's listen to the theme music and how they get into the show, my track one.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't hesitate to say, hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe.
Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, babe. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Bubs.
How you doing?
Let me tell you something right now.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now.
Tell it now.
And they're shot out of a cannon. They get right into the conversation.
I hate it.
Which is, of course, Chris just had the best tuna melt he's ever eaten. That's the first 15 minutes of this show.
That's what I listened to. And I'm going, yes, this is a top 50 show, huh?
Can I ask you guys a question? Why is it called Hey Babe? What am I missing there?
They're calling each other Babe. That's like their little cute name for each other. Hey Babe. Hey Babe.
I think that's weird.
But they didn't in that piece. They said, so they called each other
Bub,
different nicknames.
Bub and something.
Yeah. So why isn't it Hey Bub?
I don't know. At the end, they call each other Babes again. The first episode, they don't even mention Babe. So maybe they came up with it later. I don't know. It doesn't seem organic.
Do you know if they're straight or gay? Are they a couple?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not used to two guys calling each other Babe. I mean, I don't care. They can call each other whatever they want. But, I mean, when you had named something, it's usually for relatability reasons.
It's an issue.
Are guys calling each other Babe these days?
No.
Okay. All right, continue, Carl.
I want you two to kiss each other.
I think the shtick that's going on here, Drew, and you listened a little bit, so let me know what you think about this, but I think it's like these two bros. Because they talk about playing basketball when they were younger, and they're talking about bro stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also talk about, like, counting calories. So it's like one of these things is like, whoa, this is a crazy juxtaposition. Two bros talking about our calorie intake.
Oh, Lord.
I did hear that, and I was really like going, wait, do guys really talk like this? Because that's what happens to me is I go, I've never been in a conversation like this before. Because they're arguing over the one guy's diet. He's getting 2,800 calories a day, and the other guy says, oh, no, you got to have 2,300 or you're not going to lose a pound. What are you doing?
Okay, but here's the thing. Let's just be honest. I'm going to tell.
You box.
I'm going to tell them something personal, and you can cut this out if you want to cut out. You had sausage and peppers.
I did.
And that's a personal statement. I'm sorry that I know we're friends and you trust me.
The thing is,
we tell the fans you had a sausage and peppers.
I was tired of what we normally order, and I wanted to throw a curveball. I did gut the bread, and I toasted it.
Jesus.
I know. I felt like I was in some forbidden territory. I really did.
That's weird.
But I think that's kind of the shtick, right? It's like, maybe. Oh, isn't this crazy? These two bros, and they're hanging on a couch. I was watching the YouTube video. They're sitting on a couch, and they're trying to be extra comfortable. They have their legs all spread out. They're like pretty much cuddling with each other. All right. So at this point, Chris decides to talk about this fast food ordering hack that he has. It's like a life hack that he has. And listen to how Sal responds to this. It is so unnatural, and it builds up to this huge crescendo. And then they have to immediately explain why it was so funny, which is always great for a joke.
I love jokes being explained. Those are the best.
What I'll do is I'll go in with the intention of all the food is for me, but because I'm so genuinely embarrassed of how much food I'm ordering, I'll go to like a McDonald's drive-thru, and I'll say, can I get a number two? Let me get a Big Mac, order a fries. Coke and apple turnover. And what did she say she wanted? What did she say she wanted? Number three, quarter pounder with cheese, hold the onions. There's something else. I'm sorry. But she's pregnant.
You like to get the impression that you're ordering for multiple people and it's just for you.
Yeah, and I always go, what did she say she wanted?
Thanks, idiot.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It wasn't that funny either.
Oh, but Sal was really selling it. He's giggling at every sentence. And then when he gets to the part where he says, what did she want again? He just loses his mind over how hilarious it is.
Oh man. I guess the lowest denominator, the common denominator is lower than I always think it is. That's really sad.
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
The other thing too that I noticed on this, and it's the opposite of Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen. The pace of this is like a Slayer concert.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get through this. The conversation's go, 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 move. It's like, whoa, holy shit. So, so I'm looking at the comments because I want to see what kind of goofballs are listening to a show like this. The top comment on YouTube is this guy named Awkward Loser. And he writes, Chris is deaf, a guy who says food's here when he orders two pizzas for himself. That comment received 494 likes on YouTube. Oh, wow. This is the level of sense of humor these people have who enjoy this show.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'll just never hit the middle. What can I say?
That's embarrassing.
This is the part of the show. Every time I come on your guys' show, and I'm glad you keep having me back, this is the part of the show where you guys get depressed. It starts off, we're all having fun. People, and then you guys go, oh, my God, how popular is this show? God
exactly.
Damn it.
That's,
I know. It's distressing. But, you know, it's funny. When you guys are doing these podcasts, you guys review, like you did just the tip, the Tinder dating one. It is so bad. And there's always this moment of being like, oh, my God, who made us listen to this piece of shit podcast? But then the clips are always really funny. I mean, it's like unbelievable. In fact, after listening to the last WATP, I really feel they are teaching women vocal fry. That this is like something you learn in fifth grade. Okay, you got to have a little vocal fry in your voice or you'll never make it anywhere. Because it just seems like every podcast you guys cover has women with vocal fry on it.
Well, also, the gay guy who was on their show had the worst vocal fry I've ever heard.
He did.
And he's in Hollywood. I went and watched his demo reel. He doesn't talk like that. He's literally putting it on as if he thinks that that's like a good thing for a podcast.
Oh, that's
I got
weird.
To talk annoyingly.
I know, it's really bizarre. It's a funny WATP, just the most recent one, Sundays. So anyway, continue, Carl. What's next?
Okay. They get into a conversation. Now, this conversation is meandering. It's all over the place. And this is the conversation you have with your buddy when you're halfway through a giant bag of blow. Because you know when you get to that point, you're both zooted out of your mind and everything in your head is coming out of your mouth. This is my track four.
For some reason, and I don't know why I do this at all. Like if there's like a moment of like just like, I don't even want to say calmness, but like it's stagnant in my mind or like I'm doing a task that's like mundane or when I get really nervous, I don't know why, but in my head, just over and over starts to play. And sometimes I even like mouth it. I go, here we go, Yankees, here we go. And I don't know why. I go, here we go, Yankees, here we go. And what is that? You think it takes me back to like a happy place or it's just like
it's like a jingle. It's like those jingles of commercials. Like if you name right now, if I tell you something from the 80s, you'll remember the jingle. That's the point of the jingle.
Right.
It's to root itself somewhere deep in the recesses of your brain.
Of our lives.
Yeah, the touch, the feel of cotton.
Yeah.
The fabric of our lives. Yeah. How about, I don't know, anything else?
Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup by Menon. Right?
There you go.
That's what it is.
There you go.
Wow.
I wish I could see a cross-section of the audience. I'm fascinated by who would like this.
These are two comedians who are pretty much at the top of their game, you would think.
Really?
They have a bunch of deals with television. They're both on True TV or whatever network that Impractical Jokers is on.
That's the network that we all know in March because they're one of the four that carries the first round games
that's
of the
right.
tournament.
Right.
Only time ever there.
That's when you see all their promos for all their shows, like these guys.
And here they are singing jingles to each other. And I know that was a long clip, but it continues on track five.
Oh, my God, no.
Juicy Fruit is gonna move ya. You know that one?
877-643-4448.
What is that?
877-643-4448. 1-800-M-A-T-T-R-E-S. Are those local New York things?
Give me a break.
Give me a break.
How about that one? For the New York State Lottery, I'm Yolanda Vega. Can you hand me that right there? Check this out, guys.
Wow.
Something that I discovered from doing WATP over the last few years, there is an epidemic where comedians who probably can write decent comedy, can write a set, can write shows, they spend so many hours on podcasts that they show how unentertaining they are most of the time. And it's embarrassing They need to not be on podcasts so often.
You know what, Carl? I'm convinced that these days, when you have a platform, you just have a platform. People feel like they're supposed to go every place on the platform to support you because they like you. They've accepted you've gotten over with them. We always had this, what I would call a disease with comedians who would always go, hey, what do you want to talk about? We're this isn't a go. Ah, whatever, man. Just go with it. I'll be great. And then you go with it, and then they're not great. Because they do need to think ahead to what they're doing. They love to challenge themselves that I can be funny no matter what. But the problem is, you know, it's your show. The audience is really there for you. They're just the guest. And somehow they think that, you know, they would like this challenge to just be funny no matter what's going on. They don't want to plan anything. They're generally not that good. Some are. Greg Giraldo, for example.
Oh, Giraldo would fly with anything. David Tell would fly with anything.
Actually, Giraldo and Attell are the kind of guys that would come in, they would hear something in the car, and they would talk about
riff
it.
Riff on it, yeah.
But those guys are that good, you know.
Well, that's why when you say these guys aren't prepping for the show, or you hear
they're
that
not.
They're
not. It's prepping, so obvious.
That it's going to die. It's going to die. They're not going to have much to talk about going forward.
I listen to Carl's Bert Kreischer show. Carl busts him. The guest is telling him, dude, you're texting on your phone. What's going on?
But I think, isn't that the appeal of Bert, which I don't get Bert, but I have friends that really like him.
I know,
him.
I do too. I want to be friends with him very much longer. That's a weird thing, isn't it, when your friends like Bert Kreischer? I mean, I know we have audience people that love Bert Kreischer. He's just... He tells really long stories, right? Isn't that his thing?
Well, I think maybe because I feel most of the stories are bullshit, but I don't know.
I cannot deny his success. He is extremely successful, and I don't take that away from him.
I think he's just kind of a lovable idiot to a lot of people, and they just think he's funny.
And I hear him being idiotic. Sometimes I laugh at him because he is being idiotic, and he does kind of acknowledge it. But Carl, can you explain, Carl?
He's self-aware, I'll tell you that much.
The first time I picked up on this phenomenon was actually when I was listening to the Chris D'Elia podcast, which obviously is in the news right now. But I remember Chris D'Elia came on his show for an hour, and he's talking about how funny Family Guy is. He goes, Family Guy, dude, Family Guy, dude, funny show, dude, Family Guy. You got to check out Family Guy, dude. He didn't have a scene that he liked. He didn't remember a joke or a line
from
the show.
I know, it looks bad.
He did over and over, Family Guy's a funny show. Dude, you've done zero prep.
That's weird.
You know, and I have been doing the work.
That's weird.
He does, Chris D'Elia, when I listen to him, he just wings it. And I give him credit because he wings it. He's all by himself, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On his podcast.
Yeah,
totally winged. And I know we have people that love Chris D'Elia and love his podcast, and it did really well.
It looks bad.
But I don't know. I guess because I come from a place where you're supposed to prepare and put something. I mean, you're supposed to actually put something on for people. Maybe it's the idea that, well, normally I see this person completely scripted, and here they are completely unscripted. Maybe that's the appeal.
That could be it. Well, how often,
it's possible. It makes sense.
How often does someone like D'Elia do a podcast?
Once a week, right, Carl?
Yeah, all these shows that comedians do are once a week. The problem is they do five or six different shows, so they're on almost every single day.
Oh, okay.
That's true. Yeah, they're guests a lot.
I just when you did the radio show, you know, we had to make sure 4 hours was filled.
Yeah, and you got to have something to do, and it's got to be halfway decent. I mean, not everybody views it that way, but I like to try.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the difference, though, is that radio, you can take callers. You have to repeat the same stuff that you said in the 6 o'clock hour or the 7 o'clock hour. You got a whole new audience. Very different game than when you're doing these YouTube shows that last for an hour, hour and a half, and you're putting out five or six a week, and you've done no prep for any of them, and you have nothing new to talk about.
Well, I feel like...
they're my tuna belt.
Carl, I need you to check out...
I got
to
tell you, I'm hungry now.
David Dobrik. He's the 24-year-old phenomenon who now has this killer podcast called Views, because I've listened to two of them, and he, I believe, is bucking to be like a late-night host on network because he has 75 million followers. And I'm listening to his podcast, and I'm going, I guess this is what, you know, if you're 20, I guess this is what you like, but I just don't get it. And by the way, he has N-word tweets and stuff from his past.
Brown face. Yeah.
It does seem like the expectations are lower for some reason, doesn't it?
Because he has 75 million followers, he operates in a world where he can get Halsey on his show.
Oh, wow.
Or Madison Beer. She was on that one. And you know, she's a big deal, I guess. She was a terrible guest, I thought.
Yeah.
But anyway, move on, Carl. What do we got left?
I picked up on something that Chris D'Stefano has. It's called a crutch word.
Oh, boy.
So, like, what I like tried to like do here is I like decided to put like David Lee Roth every single like time he uses his like crutch like, word like, so that we could point like the crutch word like, out and like. Maybe you could like count along. All
right. And I used to sleep like, you know, cause, like they couldn't have like that many like rooms or whatever. Like the sophomores and freshmen would sleep together. So the seniors came in with like a big block of snow, like somehow got into our room. I know they got like a room card or something like that. Got into our room in the middle of the night and threw snow off the top of our ceiling and like landed on us like in the middle of our hotel beds, like crazy snowstorm. And they're like, we're having a huge snowball fight. And the coach, our coach, who's a great guy, wanted to like get involved like later on in the snow fight.
What a stupid story anyway. Oh, God.
Wouldn't you feel weird if you heard yourself using a crutch word 15 times in 20 seconds?
I have caught myself doing it from time to time.
Me too.
It's a big bummer.
I'll rephrase it. It's been pointed out to me, too.
Yes.
And then you just are hyper aware of it, and it sucks.
That's why I'm pointing it out, because I've been told about many of my crutches, sure. And it's all I can think about now when I'm talking. So I don't understand. No one's told this guy. He says like too much.
The way these guys talk, first of all, it's way too fast. They remind me of radio like 30 years ago, and people felt there could not be even a microsecond of dead air. Mm-hmm. And so they said dumb things just to keep talking.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe people miss that. I don't know.
So this next example is the opposite of that. For some reason, Chris asks how long it would take Sal to count to 1 million. And Sal tries to do the math in his head to figure out how long it would actually take him. Now, I did add some drops in here to make it tolerable to listen to, but this is really just filling time. This is like when you're talking about staring at the clock and we got to do another 20 minutes. This is a great example of that. Track
how
seven.
Long do you think it would take you to count to 1 million?
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
Let me think about this. That's a really tough question.
Is it?
Well, let's call it 10, 100.
You're boring everybody.
1,000. I want to say, I'm really trying to give you a real guess.
Yeah, I
want to say.
Quit boring everyone.
I think I'm miscalculating this wrong. Hold on.
Oh my 60 God.
60 goes into 10, 600, 5, 600, and then. Like, I don't know.
Oh, thanks.
80 hours.
Think about it. Would this be interesting to you? Would you listen to this?
Okay, my question. Who's the guiltier party? The person who asked a question or the person who attempted to answer it?
Great question. Terrible question to ask. Terrible way to respond to that. The answer is, I don't know who gives a shit.
Exactly. It's the only answer.
Well, I'm sure you didn't expect the answer to be that long. His penalty should be making him do it.
It's a ridiculously open-ended question.
I know, but he shouldn't make him count to 1 million now.
Then he actually gives he had the answer for some reason to this question that came out of nowhere.
Well, that's even dumber then.
So after he says, I don't know, 80 hours it would take me.
Dude, please don't tell me the guy that asked the question argues with him about it.
He's got the answer.
No.
To count to 1 million, it would take 11 days, 13 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds.
Holy shit.
To count from 1 to 1 million.
Who fucking cares?
Now, wow. Let me explain how he came to this conclusion, because it's also fucked. He decides 1 second per number is the average. So all he did was put 1 million times 1 second.
So how long 1 million seconds is.
Right.
But you can count way faster.
I'm kind of impressed by the fact that he actually had a methodology.
I don't know if he did. You know what? I don't think he did. The reason being is if you Google how long will it take to count to 1 million, the answer is 11 days, 13 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds.
Yeah, but Brandon, maybe they got that answer from that podcast because he did the work.
Brandon's been enjoying this podcast going, why is this guy tearing it down? This is great.
Well, there's this guy named Jeremy Harper who actually did count to 1 million.
And oh, I've seen him.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Wait, there's another Count David Wimp out
this
there?
This was a long time ago.
Oh, that guy. I remember that.
You covered him, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But that was a long time ago. Why is that their topic today?
But it took that guy months to do it.
Yeah.
So this idea that it would take 11 days is nonsense, because it takes longer than 1 second to say, 18,397, 18,398. It would take you longer than 1 second per number, whatever the calculation was.
Well, oh, that's true, because you get into the hundreds of thousands, 200,101, 200,102.
This sounds very nerdy.
Not to mention, you gotta sleep and eat your tuna melt and all that other stuff.
Yeah, and you've got Go Yankees Go in your head all the time, or whatever he has. Let's go Yankees.
You gotta do a podcast with your idiot friend.
Okay, there was also... I regret to say that Carl seemed to have an interest in the Eagles podcast this young 13-year-old.
Wait a minute. I specifically said no.
Sorry. Well, Giovanni. We had to check in on Giovanni and see what he's up to on the Eagles Brawl Philly Sports podcast.
And this is the kid who is madly in love with Carson Wentz. Yep. And was so crushed when he got traded. He couldn't put on his jersey because he was in a sling. He just had surgery.
You're still my hero. You always will be.
Poor kid.
Big better heroes.
So crushed. I hope you're not going to wail on this kid, Carl.
No, I just have one clip that I want to play from his podcast. Okay. And this one he put out right before the Super Bowl, and he's giving his Super Bowl prediction. This is my track 11.
I think the Chiefs, just because Travis Kelce, he's one of my friends. He's really nice, really funny.
Drop! What?
It's a name dropper. It's going to turn into a monster. Are you kidding me?
Give him a break.
Carl!
Give him a break.
I'll give him a break for the name drop, but you're picking the winner based on who's your friend? Oh,
now, come on. Let's not beat up on this kid.
All right. When I listen to Eagles, what's it called again? Eagle what?
Brawl.
When I listen to Eagle Brawl, I want, very insightful reasons as to who's going to win the Super Bowl, not who his friend is.
Mark, I have bad news. One of his guests on that episode was his mom. So I don't know if you're going to get really insightful.
Oh, his mom was a guest.
Oh, we've had Rosie on this show before.
True.
They're all wonderful. Yes.
Sweet.
How good of a guest was his mom?
She was amazing. She's like, I really like red, so I think the Chiefs are going to win. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. It wasn't that bad.
Did she give him shit? Because, I like when my mom gives me shit on the show. It makes me embarrassed. That's what makes good listening, right?
It helps.
I don't think she ripped him a new one on the Eagles Brawl.
Hey, Carl, so how is Shuley's podcast seems to be doing well so far? I know he's only a few podcasts in.
Yeah, Shuley's crushing. He was actually on with Brent Hatley the other day. They had brought him on as a guest. And, of course, those guys used to
be. Did he bang his wife?
Oh, thank God Caitlin wasn't there.
Oh, Brett Hatley makes appearances without his wife now?
Thank God, yes. But that was on the Shuley show.
How's her vagina doing? Has she updated anybody recently?
God damn it. It's all she talks about. It's so annoying.
I know. I just felt like, could no one tell Brett that Brett, you might have a lot on the ball here, but
I think
this
likes
is not the direction to go. Yeah, I guess he probably did. He likes swinging and all that. Yeah, well, anyway.
I'm excited because this weekend coming up, it'll drop on this Sunday. We have Shuley on as a special co-host on WATP.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to be reviewing a High Pitch Eric podcast.
Oh, wow. That's
going to be great. Shuley does an amazing high pitch impression. Wait, I'm looking forward to that.
Who is High Pitch Eric? Now, what is his podcast like? Can you give us any description at all?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous horseshit. Because the technology doesn't work very well, and the people that he has on there, like I listened to one with him and Gonzo, who is a super fan of the Stern Show, and he's got all these hangers on that try to get on.
We're working on it.
We'll talk about him.
Okay.
Yeah, can you review the Righteous Rick podcast?
We're working on it, guys.
Wow, I don't know how you were able.
Guys,
to watch
we're working
all
on
that.
It. Give us a minute.
Because we love Rick so much, that's why.
So, guys, just bear with me.
We'll give Rick some time. And
give
then
me
can
a second,
review it.
Okay? I'm sorry.
The interview is posted, by the way, without all the prelims for people who are interested.
Guys, we'll get there. Hang tough.
Thank God some people saved it.
All right, Carl, we'll catch you Sunday on WATP.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you. Carl's brought to you by Hall Financial. Go to DrewandMikeHF.com to get started. That's DrewandMikeHF.com to get started, or call 248-308-5000 for David Hall and your friends like Jim Bentley at Hall Financial.
Who are these podcasts? WATP.